Let's get right into it. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Now, just so you know, filthy language there, I know a lot of people think that's cursing and everything, but it's not just, I mean, that's could be part of it, but that actual word, filthy language, is like gossip and talking about others negatively and just being just downright mean, really, is what that is towards others. So, you know, anytime there's gossip and slander and all that, that's where filthy language is coming from. As well as, I would say, cursing, but this specifically is like not to let the chirping happen, not to let that, you know, as we go around. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and as in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom through the psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. But in this particular time, singing with gratitude in your hearts and a mask. That's my addition, just in case you didn't know. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, that's a lot of scripture, and there's a lot of stuff in there, but you know what? We can compact that, and we can and give that to you. But really, that whole scripture, the purpose of Christ, this is the meaning of it, the purpose of Christ is greater than our own selfish religiosity and our own piety. And so in everything we do, it should be done as an act of worship to Jesus. And we're going to talk about that as we walk through the scripture. But in everything we do, think about that. In everything you do, you want it to be an act of worship to Jesus. This morning, how many things did you do that were not an act of worship to Jesus this morning? There's dead silence because you know. Now, here's my act of non-worship. I got up early. Came, had everything organized, came to the front gate, went to the gate, did not have my keys for this building or this gate. That was not an act of worship on my part from that moment on. And I started driving towards my home, not worshiping God as I got up the hill, Cloverdale Hill here. I honestly, God said, you know what? Not in an audible voice, let's be clear, but he impressed upon me, maybe I didn't want you in the building at 7:15 this morning. Okay, that's fine, God, but I have no idea what you're trying to teach me because there's no one on the road. So I drove home. Where were my keys? Hanging in my garage door. Just hanging there. I grabbed them, got back in my car, came here, and continued on with my life. Is everything I do an act of worship to God? I'm here to tell you this morning it was not this morning until I realized, wait a minute, I need to refocus and get my perspective straight. I want to always react as best I can in an act of worship to Jesus. I want to be everything I do. I want it to be that way. And so this passage is an instruction to those that have been transformed by Jesus Christ. It's instructions, and it addresses the Christian community so that they realize the importance of how they act towards one another. But what it also does is it also explains how that attitude will reflect and influence outside the church. Now, our attitude and our actions have to impact both areas of our lives. We can't come to church and think that if I act a certain way here, I'm going to act differently when I go out there. No, they are tied together. You can't be one way in church and be this hardcore Christian and walk out there and be completely different and not even close to acting in worship to God. They are interconnected. Now, we know this, that's basic Christianity, but do we practice that? It would have been very easy for me to drive out, be angry, and do something silly out of my emotions. And I had to handle those on a regular basis. You have to. We all have to. We have to decide what's the right thing here. And I learned a long time ago, as I was driving up the hill, it was reminded of me, when things don't go your way in the morning, there's a reason. Slow down and figure out what God is trying to say. And if it's just slow down, then slow down. But there could be more he has to say. And this scripture couldn't be better timing because of the situation we are in right now in our world. Believe it or not, the world is looking at how you and I, how Christians in general, are reacting and responding to this global situation. They are watching all churches, and they will remember, I promise you, they will not forget how you act, how I acted, and how the church in general acted in this situation by what we say and what we do. And the big question is, what will those people outside these walls say about us when the pandemic is over, when this situation is over? There will always be problems, there will always be world emergencies, but this one is impacting us globally. What will people say outside our doors, outside in our neighborhood? What will they say about us when this is over? Were we the type of people that were influencing our community and helping in the situation around us when those were in need, both personally and corporately, or have we made things worse by stimulating fear and endangering people, whatever that looks like? What have we decided to do? What have we decided to do? West Winds will continue to be, and always will be, as long as I'm here, a church that reaches out and helps its community in times of need, no matter what that need is, no matter what it is. Our passage today is great because Paul is dealing with the idea that we personally, ourselves, are put to death. The old is exchanged for the new life in Christ. And an illustration of that is like water baptism. You go down with the old and you come up and you're washed and clean. It's not like God is saying to you, okay, here you are in your clothes. Now put on this nice new robe and everything. No. Take it off and here's the new. Brand new, nothing underneath, not hiding your old self, not giving into your old selfish desires and your old nature, but taking that off and replacing it with Jesus Christ, with the cloak of Jesus Christ, with the new life in Jesus Christ. This is such a great scripture. It really comes down to this, the Mark Davis version of this when I write my own paraphrase Bible, it's going to say, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. I could have saved a whole paragraph there. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and what he wants and what is best for others because of him. It's about putting our trust in Jesus and laying down our selfish rights. It's not about us. I talked about this before last week, is that you gave away your rights when you became a Christian. You gave them away. They're gone. You don't have any. Everything is in Jesus Christ and what he wants. And it's become new. And so putting our trust in God is a constant experience, but it's also a learning curve. It's a learning curve because God is going to stretch you in ways you've never, if you choose to follow him, if you really take this seriously, he's going to stretch you. And it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter where you are in your faith, it doesn't matter any of that social status, money, it doesn't matter. He is going to stretch you in ways that you've never been stretched before. And so when you place your trust in Christ, you will experience growing pains. I don't know if many of you had growing pains growing up. I didn't have them, but I know of people that did, and they were painful, very painful. You will experience growing pains when you walk with Jesus because you've taken off that old way. And now you have this new way that you're learning. And it's so clear and so obvious that we're going to have growing pains because this process is not automatic. It keeps on stretching us and working with us daily when we meet, until the day we meet Jesus face to face. It's a continuous progress, moving forward and sometimes slipping and moving back. And if you don't experience these growing pains, then I have to question whether or not you are actually growing and digging into the Word, whether you're growing in Jesus Christ. You're going to experience growing pains in your faith. And a good way to know if your faith is being challenged, if your beliefs in Jesus are being challenged, is when you get upset with something that has been said. Usually we get mad at things that challenge our belief systems. We get mad because we disagree. We see things one way, the way we learn them, the way we thought they should be, or the way passed down to us and taught. Remember cultural Christianity? We take some of that cultural Christianity where we've learned it from others, whether it's our parents or friends or whoever was that, you know, great person in our lives that helped come alongside us to disciple us. But when those are challenged, when those belief systems are challenged, we get upset because then we feel like we've been duped. There's a little bit of pride in there as well. And if we don't get a handle on it, we won't move forward. And so when someone else gives us a different perspective or a different idea, we can sometimes be upset about this. And when this happens, when you're given this new perspective or way of thinking, you either learn from it. You can learn from it. You can learn from other people's perspectives. You don't have to actually do what they say, but you can learn from it. You don't have to agree. Or you can get mad and not grow, not move forward, not go anywhere. This is where most people go because of their core belief system. They've been challenged and they don't like it. We don't like it. We don't like it when our core belief system has been challenged. We get upset about it. But how about we do this where we try to learn from others, where we not accept, but listen at least to a different perspective so that we can learn and then test it with Scripture, and then test it with God's Word, with how we know who He is and what He's like and what He decides to do. How about we try that? If you are a Christian, you'd better be ready to have your core values and belief system tested throughout your whole entire life and as your life moves forward, because your belief systems don't always match up to theology. And if those systems fall short, it's because it might be cultural Christianity. It might be something that was passed down or something you learned, something, a behavior, whatever it is that you thought was correct but isn't. And so if it's based on your core beliefs are based on cultural Christianity, things passed down, then it's going to fall short. Why is that? Because it doesn't stand the test of time. Cultural Christianity doesn't work, but the Word of God has tested or has gone through the test of time, and it will continue to do so. It's been tested and it's been proven. When you place your trust in Christ, you will experience growing pains whether you want to or not. And whether you want to move forward or not is your choice. It is your choice. And so when you place your trust in Christ, you will experience growing pains, and you will experience forgiveness. Not only experience forgiveness by giving, but also by receiving forgiveness. You will forgive. It says right in there, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, that's pretty clear to me. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve God's forgiveness, but He gave it to us in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we have to forgive others that have wronged us. Talk of unity in there, and we shouldn't be fighting and shouldn't be arguing. So really, it all comes down to us giving back, letting go of our pride and our self-ego and leaving it, laying it down at the feet of Jesus. We forgive, whether deserved or not, because he forgave us and it wasn't deserved. So when you place your trust in Christ, you're going to experience forgiveness and you're going to be able to give forgiveness. And when you place your trust in Christ, you will experience thankfulness. And it says, in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then it goes on to say, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because in everything we do, whether in word or deed, we need to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't pan out with Scripture and who Jesus is and the love that Jesus Christ gave that we're supposed to give to others, if that, then it's not from him. It's not in the name of Mark. It's not in the name of Tom, Doug, or Harry. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus is placed in charge of our lives. Not you, not me, but in everything we do, he's in charge. When the prophet Daniel learned of men that were going to be doing evil things, plotting against him to destroy him, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, he says he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he has done before. The key, just as he has done before. It's not just because he was struggling. It's not just because there were problems. It's because he's done it before. And that's Scripture. That's the Bible. That is our devotional life on a regular basis, so that when things like this happen in our world or to us personally, you get down on your knees, you're in your devotional life, and you do it like you did before, just as you did before. Not, oh, it's trouble times, now I must get down on my knees and pray and thank God. No, he thanked God in every circumstances, even when people were trying Daniel, even when things were going wrong, just as he did before. And then we're commanded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, not when things are just going right, not when things are just going fine, but in all circumstances, through pandemics, through problems, through arguments, through troubles, through sickness, through health. All circumstances. And so by the criteria that has been laid out in this scripture today from basically verses 12 to 17, if you are going to place Jesus as the most important part of your life, then you need to act as Jesus would in every situation. You and I need to act in every situation that we find ourselves in, just as Jesus would. And so when you leave here today, what is your response to my opening statement this morning? The purpose is this: the purpose of Christ is greater than our own selfish religiosity and piety. What does that look like in your life today? The purpose of Christ is greater than our own selfish religiosity and piety. What does that look like in your life today? And what can you do about it? Because only you can answer that. And when you leave these doors, you will see on the wall above the doors, it says, go and be the church, which means go and be like Jesus. Go out there and act as he would act, care like he would care, love like he would love, because again, when this is all over, will they say you acted like him, or will they say you were selfish and arrogant? What will they say about us? I don't want them to say the latter. I want them to say that we acted like Jesus Christ because we extended love, forgiveness, compassion, empathy. That is our mandate through all of this and beyond. But only you can answer the question, what are you going to do about it today? Let's pray. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you that you have given us the example of love, the ultimate sacrifice of your Son, died on the cross and rose for our sins, defeated death, and showed love beyond any human possible. Help us to put our ego aside. Help us to put our own pride aside and do what you've asked us to do. Be thankful in all situations. Extend forgiveness. Learn through our growing pains and be more Christ-like in everything that we do, in every minute, in every second, in every hour. Help us to do this, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you, and we will see you next Sunday.